Who of you have been challenged lately to go low, to be humble, and to serve others, to wash feet? Nothing to do with married life. But we all get challenged. And so this is just for us to repeat, to remember, to become a revelation, to lead to the renewal of our mind and the renewal of our lifestyle. I love Joyce Myers because what she preaches, you can actually go practice. I love very high-flying, prophetic type symbolism as well. No problem with that. But I want it to be practical. I want to be able to live it by the grace of the Lord. And so that's why we do these things. So we've been saying you can go to the next slide. Go low and you can go to the one after that. Thanks. And the keys that we've shared with one another in these four parts before was just the following. We looked at the foot washing of Jesus and we said, don't mind the robes too much. In other words, it's not because Mjuan is a professor that I serve him or that he's good with gardening. Apologies for using you as an example, Mjuan. But it is just because he's a son of God. I don't serve him because of his title that the world gives him. I don't serve him because he often buys me coffee, which is a massive blessing, by the way. No, I serve him because of Christ in me and Christ in him. And likewise, also, not if somebody is poor, not wanting to serve them either. So we don't look at the identities given by the world, but we say, Christ, help us to look at everybody on the same level and bless everybody the same level. Secondly, Jesus was a king, but he was also a servant king. And hence, we'll be servant kings. Welcome to Christianity 101. You're royalty. You're amazing. You're beautiful. You're spectacular. But he also called to serve, to love, to wash feet, to turn the cheek, etc. Then Jesus said to us out of that scriptures, do unto others as you'd like them to do unto you. I was so challenged by that. And then fourth key was to go low like sheep. What is that? It's either to be sheep or goats. Christ said, if as you do unto the least of these brothers and sisters, as you actually treat my bride, as you treat my church, as you treat my brothers and sisters, so you treat me. That's kind of a hard word. So let's do it like sheep. So let's treat one another. And in treating Edna, I'm treating Christ. In Kunrad, treating me, blessing me with worship and preparation this morning, him and Bernard, everybody else, he's blessing Christ in me. So let's do that. And the fifth and final one that I preached was sow low, trust the seed. I just noticed that sometimes we think we sow in vain as Christians. Like, oh man. Even if you go over to the UK and you go into Europe, you might think, oh Lord, these small seeds. Yet Christ was one of those seeds way back. Look at the life of Paul. Look at Daniel. Look at David that we discussed this morning. Look at Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. What is the seeds that we sow? We sow the Word of God. Guys, we need to make sure we sow the Word of God. And so those are the backbone. That is the foundation to which we're going to build today. Today's key is the trusted hands of God. Do you trust the hands of God? Because to go low takes risk. Am I right? Who's ever made themselves vulnerable and taken risks to go low and got hurt? Come on, let's be honest. Honest moment. It's never happened in church though, has it? Especially in church. I'm sorry, but especially in church, it often happens that we go low. We're going to serve and love on someone, and it backfires. But let's take heart. I want to encourage you guys this morning because I believe Scripture wants to encourage us. We want to say God's hands is sovereignly at work. Now, how I got to this message, you can go to the next slide. You know, I always just like to share the journey. At the beginning of the year, who's ever been pregnant? No, I've not been pregnant, guys. It's just lots of microwave dinners on mission. But the bottom line is that if you're 9.5 months pregnant or 9¾ months pregnant, if that's possible, you feel stretched. And so at the beginning of the year, I was really stretched spiritually. I was just in a tough place. I was between a rock and a hard place. It's difficult to explain, as it's probably difficult for all the ladies to explain to their husbands giving birth. Be that as it may, I just said to Edna, you need to pray. Jy moet vir my bid. Ek spreek van 'n dreigement. I just said, you need to pray for me. I'm not breaking through. I'm not understanding this pressure, but please, please pray for me. And she She heeded to my voice and she prayed and immediately came back and she said to me, I hear Jeremiah 18. I'm like, thank you very much. It's a good key. I'll go read what the word says. Lo and behold what it said. Let's go to the next one. Jeremiah 18. This might be speaking into your life today, maybe into our church community. But I want to build up so that we can firstly check, do we trust the hands of God? And secondly, do we have the proper perspective of the hands of the Lord? Let's read what the Lord then said to me at the beginning of this year through my lovely wife. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down at once to the potter's house. There I will reveal my words to you. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working away at the wheel, but the jar that he was making from the clay became flawed in the potter's hand. So he made it into another jar, as it seemed right for him to do. The word of the Lord came to me, House of Israel, can I not treat you as this potter treats the clay? This is the Lord's declaration, just like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, House of Israel. So maybe there was a bit of murmuring in my heart at the beginning of the year, not understanding why is things not breaking through, opening up, happening the way I thought. And so God just used that to prophetically speak into my life. Now when we do this with Scripture, we need to be careful. We need to be careful not to just use every single Scripture. Obviously, I asked a question, God came back with an answer, but still I need to read it in the right context. So what is the original context, firstly and foremostly? Originally, the Bible just uses the symbolism here to illustrate the message of God to His people. Who's ever experienced that through the Word? All of us. Okay, but in context, it's always important to first check what was the original meaning. What did He say? Now, obviously, I'm not going to go too deep into that because we don't have time. But God instructed the prophet Jeremiah to go to the potter's house where God would illustrate His relationship with Israel. So it was firstly and foremostly not for me, but for Israel. God saying, well, hey, let's just have a moment here. This is how we relate. This is how we relate, guys. I see you murmuring and I see you having a couple of moments there, a couple of hissy fits maybe, but this is how we relate. Remember, I am the potter and you are the clay. That's a bit of a hard word, don't you think? It's like, boom, there you go. Ken your plek, as they say in Afrikaans. And so Israel, he was just saying to them, Israel, you guys need to turn from your own plans and your stubbornness of heart. It's like, okay, that's quite clear. Thank you, God. We take that. Who's ever had one of those messages? Amen. Those are good. It's a loving father that disciplines his children. It's not the full picture. I believe there's more to this, so please don't lose me now. Don't get offended. I didn't, by the grace of God. And I needed to heal myself in that moment. So, firstly, it applied to Israel, but God here also spoke to me. And maybe today He might be speaking to you. Who's ever been in a pressure cooker season in their life? Who's been in a tough season? All of us. Who's ever faced a status quo, a set of facts that just didn't make sense to you? Come on, be real honest now. And you're like, Lord, what is going on? All of us have those moments. And in those moments, it's catalyst moments, either for going south or going the route of peace with the Lord. There's a battle in the heart of man in those moments. Of what are you going to do now? Are you going to bow your knee? Or are you going to harden your heart? Are you going to be a hardened piece of clay in this moment? Or you're going to bow your knee and say, no. You know what? I don't see everything perfectly. In fact, I'm just mere clay in this moment. Lord, have your way. And so we have these moments. I see Dominique's face light up. She's probably had one or two of them. She's had one or two of them. Now, before we go into the rest of Scripture, let's quickly look at maybe the attributes of clay and the potter. What would you say be the attributes of clay? What comes up? I need your help. Sorry? Flexible. Hopefully flexible. Have your kids ever left their clay out without putting it back in that cute little hourkies? Yeah, kind of need to throw it away. Flexible, yes. Anything else? Soft. Amen. Pliable. All the churchy answers. Yes. Without water, it becomes hard. Amen. I believe it's the water of the Spirit. I like the symbolism. Without water, it becomes hard. It's messy. Yes, I love that. Welcome to Christianity. Praise the Lord. It's messy. God knows what He's doing, but from the clay side, it's pretty messy. From the potter's side, it's not a big mess because He's got a vision. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a beautiful heart. He's got a blueprint. But from the clay side, man, it looks a bit messy. You have to heat it on the counter to get all the bubbles out. Sounds like making pizza. Yes. It's moldable, yes. Not edible, moldable. Moldable. It can't make anything of itself. I love that. It heed to the voice of God and it cannot make anything of itself. It ends up in the furnace. Yeah, that's true. Let's stop there. Maybe we're going to be accountable to this. This is the Spirit working, by the way. So we can laugh all we want. It becomes whatever the potter makes it. That's beautiful. Yes, please. Yes, it ends up in the furnace to become useful. Oh, that's brilliant. I see a bit of a ping pong going on here. Sorry? It's of the earth, yes. It's got potential, yes. Any last things about clay? We might just go on for 3 weeks. It changes all the time until it goes to the furnace for its purpose. It starts off as nothing. It's fragile, yes. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. It's very fragile. Who's ever felt like that? Yes, last year. Sorry? It takes hard work to form it, yes. And then, just quickly on the hands of the potter. What symbolism if you think of potter's hands? I'm not speaking about your three-year-old necessarily. Let's say potter in the more professional sense of the word. But if we look at the symbolism here of a potter, what stands out? Firm hands, yes. That's parent speaking. It's got clear direction, yes. The clay, I have no idea, but the hands of direction. Yes, Chris. Skill. Yes, skilled is the word I wrote down. Creative. Amen. What else? It's guiding. Yes. It's trustworthy. Yes. Firm but soft. Safe. Yes. Who's ever experienced God's hands like this? And if you have not experienced His hands like this, there might have been a lie or a deception because God cannot change. And that is what we're going to build to today is, what is the hands of the potter really like? And so, what stood out for me from the Scripture, God speaking into my life saying, oh Lord, I feel like this messy clay, what's happening? I believe these things that you've been saying to me. Lord, what's going on? God just said, hey, I'm sovereign. Hello? I'm sovereign. Who likes the word sovereign? Who's got a t-shirt? God is sovereign in their cupboard. Yaku, be honest. Like surfer apparel. Now, you don't necessarily go to the beach with a t-shirt saying, my God is sovereign. Maybe Bernard, you'll wear one of those. I know that. You got one in Thailand, yes. But otherwise, we don't necessarily have that lying around. It's not one of those big things, but I was really challenged. Who's ever been challenged by the sovereignty of God? The six honest people put up their hands. And to go low is obviously to accept God's sovereignty in my life. As a Christian, as you come forward in an altar call, somebody leads you in an emotional place where you go to the Lord. It's beautiful. There's a massive party in heaven. But there's also a moment of transition where you say the sovereignty of God will now be applicable in my life for all eternity. And for me, if you say those words, they are beautiful, but it wasn't like that all my life. There was clay, moments of clay where the bubbles needed to be hit out of my life, where I needed to become more pliable and bendable and soft and all these things we said, because I needed to get to know the hands. I needed to trust the hands of God. What is sovereignty? It's the following. Basileia is a Greek word, and it just means kingdom, sovereignty, royal power, kingship, authority, rule. Who likes somebody or something to rule over you? Great. Tough crowd. At least an honest crowd. So nobody likes us to really rule. Rule in love? Oh, okay, two. Oh, Jesus, help us. Rule, especially of God, both in the world and in the hearts of men. Hence, kingdom, concrete sense. Now, why nobody puts up their hand and freak out and love the fact that we don't necessarily love rule over us, is, you can go to the next slide, is because I believe the sovereignty of the Lord leaves us with a bit of a predicament sometimes. It's both countercultural and it's counterintuitive. What I mean by that, it doesn't come natural for the flesh to have to be ruled and to be guided. All those pretty words. Do you remember all those pretty words of the potter that you just uttered? Skillful, loving, firm, safe. You remember? No, you don't. No, you don't. Jesus, help us. We've kind of forget these words. But it's offensive to the flesh. And so we've got this battle. But praise God, when you get born again, you get the spirit that cries out what? Abba, Father. Not Yamanir. No, it cries out, Abba, Father. It's a spirit that knows the hands that will lead it forth. And so, yes, you might run into these battles and then countercultural. If I put on Facebook this afternoon, my God is sovereign, take it or leave it. Man, oh man, I will have some feedback. Kry vir jou. God is soeverein. Amen. You'll have some problems coming. There'll be a manifestation of note. Because our culture doesn't like that. But God says, no. Maybe they're not seeing me right. Maybe they don't understand these hands. Maybe they don't know these hands. And so firstly, we need to make sure, do I know the hands? Do I trust the hands? Because I need to go be these hands. And if I see that there's been hurt in the church and of which we are a part, then we like to need to say, Lord, sorry for maybe misrepresenting the potter's hands now and again. And maybe that's a sermon for another day. R.C. Sproul says the following, most Christians salute the sovereignty of God but believe in the sovereignty of man. I said, yeah, God is sovereign for you, for the rest of you guys. But when I need to make my decisions of my future, what I'm going to do with my weekend, my afternoon, and my Sunday morning, I'm kind of going to make the decision. Thank you very much. And so, rightfully so, we're in a battle. Like I was at the beginning of the year. I'm not coming from a high and mighty place. I'm saying, this is the word God spoke to me when I was in a difficult situation. When I felt like messy clay, not sure what He's making, I felt the following. Then I went in the rest of the Old Testament to go say, where else does He refer to clay? And it doesn't get any easier. Isaiah 45:9 says, woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms him, what are you making? Your work has no handles. Who's ever asked the Lord, what mark you here? There's a couple of smirks saying, yes, absolutely. And so we have these moments. But I believe that the story doesn't end here. Our lives will fulfill their highest purpose when we let our potter truly have His way with us. I'm going to say this again. Our lives will fulfill its highest purpose when we let our potter have His way with us. But you know the beauty of this potter is, he doesn't force any clay. He's never forced, and I believe he will not ever force a piece of clay. That's why He's given us the free choice. I would not want to be married to Edna if she was forced into it. It's just not the same. But when it's authentic, when it comes from the heart, when it's an overflow of a worship, when it's an overflow towards the Lord, not towards me, but when it's an overflow of love and affection and truthfulness and honesty, because there's safety, not perfection, but because there's safety, there's hope, there's love, there's faith, then it's a totally different story. Then there's a beauty in agreement. And so do you believe the potter's story can also have that for us? Yes, I believe so, because Christ can reveal it to us. As with anything, Jesus will reveal. So can I ask you this morning, are you yielded, surrendered, humbled, and soft-hearted? Are you yielded, surrendered, humble, and soft-hearted? Can I ask it this way? Would you like to be yielded, surrendered, humble, and soft-hearted towards God? And then I would like to. At the beginning of the year, I was really suffering in that space I was, and I was just realizing, no, I just need to become childlike again, become clay-like again. And this morning in intercession, we just say, shift our focus, look to Jesus, turn to Jesus. And so if you're saying, I'm this clay, but what you're saying is actually just kind of offending my flesh, I want to say, be of good cheer. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. And this is why. I want to show you, I believe, a New Testament true potter picture this morning, because I believe only Christ can reveal to us the true hands of the potter and also our clay likeness. Our potter's hands can only be shown and revealed by Christ. Why am I saying this? We are at the moment in a new covenant dispensation. What does this mean? This basically means that we are after the time of the cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus. What did we celebrate last week? Exactly that. And so after Jesus had come, it changed the whole scenery. It changed the relationship. But it didn't only change the relationship, but Christ also came to what? To reveal God to us. The Old Testament is a shadow. How much can you learn from a shadow? You can definitely learn a little bit from a shadow, am I right? But when you see what the shadow is a reflection of, it is so much better. And so there's a substance or there's a fulfillment in the New Testament in Christ of the shadow that is in the Old Testament. So if we read, for argument's sake, the potter and the clay, we see a shadow picture of how God deals with Israel. Be careful not only to take that and run with it without looking from a new covenant dispensation to there. Are we on the same page? Let's look at Scripture because it reveals it. John 17:25-26 says the following, and listen closely. Father, you are the one who is good. Father, you are the one who is good. The world does not know you, but I know you. So firstly, Jesus says what? I know you. Okay, Jesus says, remember, I know you. I didn't become a Christian and know God all perfectly well. Did you? No, I needed to be taught. I still need to be taught every single day. Who knows the Father? Jesus. Great. And these people know that you sent me. Listen up closely. I showed them what you are like. Scripture says, Christ at work, I showed them what you are like. He repeats himself in the New Living Translation. And again, I will show them what you are like. Then they will have the same love that you have for me, and I will live in them. How beautiful. So I take the potter and the clay story and I realize this is a true story in context to Israel, and it is absolutely truthful. But when I'm giving this and I'm in a new covenant dispensation, I need to put on, like I'm young this morning, have to put on his glasses. I need to put on Jesus Christ, because I can only look through Christ at these hands of the potter to see him perfectly, because he knows the potter and he can reveal the potter. Are we with one another? Amen. And so, if you don't believe me, I'm sure you will believe John Piper. There's an article he wrote, and there's just two things I quickly want to quote from there. All Scripture bear witness to Christ. All Scripture. All Scripture bears witness to Christ. It's so beautiful once you start unwrapping these things. You can ask a guy like Peter that loves the teaching part of his walk, just how to break open these things of where the reflection or the shadow is, and how it gets perfected in Christ in the New Testament. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. He just says, hey guys, all of Scripture actually just reveals to me. It gets perfected in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, as John says. You go to the second one. This is the second point that John Piper lifts out in this paper he wrote. All Scriptures are about Jesus Christ, even where there is no explicit prediction. That is, there is a fullness of implication in all Scriptures that points to Christ and is satisfied only when he has come and done his work. Has Jesus come and done his work? Yes, the cross. We're there. We are in the wake of that. How privileged we are. We are in the wake of that season. The meaning of all scriptures is unlocked by the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so now, if you're in a difficult season, if you feel like messy clay, know that you're in good hands. You're in the potter's hands. But scripture says to us in a new covenant dispensation, well, when you look at God, who's the one that knows him? Jesus is the one that knows him. Not if Edna should have gone through a bad ordeal, or somebody that you know that is a believer, or some church or movement, or somebody had a very difficult time. Don't look upon them. Don't ask them for what the Father's hands look like or who the Father is. Go to Christ firstly and foremost and say, Christ, you know him. What is his hands like? What is his hands like? Please reveal to me the hands of the potter. Has Jesus revealed the hands of the potter to you? Because he knows him. He knows him perfectly well. Matthew 11:27 says, all things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. So how do we make all of this practical? So if you walk in and you say, I need to heal my life. I need to be like clay. I need to be soft. I need to surrender. I need to just give it all over. Maybe even go countercultural to a certain degree. Maybe even go counterintuitive to a certain degree. If that is what you're asking of me. But what am I giving all of this to? My answer would very, very swiftly be this. You're giving it into the hands of God the Father. The question is not where you're giving, but the question is, are you trustful and are you trusting of the hands you're giving it into? And if at that stage you might say, well, no, I actually don't know the hands. That's a good, honest place to be. But then I would say, hey, man, let's partner. Let's just ask Jesus to reveal the true God, the Father. Let's ask Jesus to reveal the hands of God to you. Not asking to yield, to jump, to surrender, to take risk, but just simply saying, be honest. I don't know his hands. I honestly don't. But let's ask Christ. There was nothing as beautiful as the 5 years in Malmesbury to teach us exactly that. Why can I trust the Lord now? Why would I be able to and willing to take major risk in the future? Because I know the hands. I've got testimonies. What is your testimonies about the hands? What has Christ revealed to you about the hands of God? In provision. Not only provision, but in safety. In future, in prophecy, in family, in restoration, in relationships. What has the hands done in your life? By the show of hands, is there testimonies of God's hands in your life? And we need to remind ourselves, because as humans, as the flesh, we don't like taking risk. We like the safest option. We like the comfortable option. But Christianity is not like that. It constantly, when last have you read through the Gospels? It's pretty risky business. If you want to keep your life, lose it. Yes, tell Santam that. And Sanlam. And the money market. In your Skoonmaa, all of them, tell them. The word says, if you want to find your life, lose it. If you want to keep it, lose it. Huh? Sounds fun. I love it. Praise God. Because I trust the hands. Not because of what I did, because Christ had the grace of revealing the hands to me. So that's the first leg. The second leg will be quite quickly. The first leg, just be honest this morning and say, Christ, please reveal the hands to me so that I can take God risks. so that I can lose and forsake my life for my own sake, but I can follow hard after and live out the gospel. Live out the calling of my life. You're not going to live out the calling on your life if you cannot take risks of faith. The only thing that stirs God's heart is faith. And if you're not walking in faith, theologically, I cannot in this moment really fathom that you can truly walk in your calling. There's a moment where you're going to walk in places where you do not understand, where you're not in control, where, by God, it's not comfortable. We said it before, the fruit of the Spirit is not comfort, it's not control, and it's not understanding. This is good church growing material this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hey? Praise God. Why can I say all these things and still smile? Because I know the hands. Do I know them perfectly? No, but I know them enough to know that we can take the risk. And whatever God has called you for is much bigger than you anticipate. But there is a chance of missing it. If you don't heal, surrender, and be soft in the hands in a clay-like manner. Retief, firstly, only Christ can reveal to us these hands. Yes, we've got it. But secondly, how can I be clay-like? Like it's requested of me. I believe very simply, where do we look to? We look to Jesus again. Hallelujah. Very easy. We just look to Christ. Who was the most perfect piece of clay in the Father's hands that ever was? I believe it's Jesus. How can I say this and can I back it up scripturally? I believe I can. John 6:38 says, "For I have come from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." Whose will are you busy with in your life? Thanks for the honest answer. Absolutely. Jesus, the one that we're following, the one that we're going low with, said the following, "For I have not come from heaven, for I have come from down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." And so, Christ, you did it. So, by faith in you, I believe I can be empowered to do it as well. Even though it really sucks, even though my flesh would like to scream and say, no, I can humble myself and say, Christ, if you did it, through faith, by God, through your Holy Spirit, I can do it as well. The biggest moment of clay-likeness, I believe, we celebrated last week. It's Matthew 26:36-46. Please bear with me. It's going to be a bit of reading, but we're going to take home the truth in this moment. How Christ would truly clay in the potter's hands. The potter being a good father, and the clay being his son. Then Jesus went to his disciples to a place called Gethsemane and said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." This is Christ speaking. Sometimes the call on your life might lead you to a place where you say, "Oh man, I feel like being swallowed up by the earth. This is not easy." But take heart, Christ did it for us. "Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." May those words ring in our spirits this morning. "Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for an hour?" he asked Peter. Hey, remember I said to him in the intercession group, "Hey guys, let's pray." It's a very Christ-like call to make. We're not going to get caught napping. We're going to be a prayerful people. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." We all know that. He went away, and a second time he prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." That's all we have on the board, but he goes on. He says then for a third time, when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. That's a good excuse for sleeping. Their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. In the hands of the Father, the perfect piece of clay, having a moment, saying, "This is messy. This is hard. But God, you know what you're doing. Yet not my will be done, but your will be done. Who today is firstly thankful for the fact that Jesus submitted, yielded, surrendered there as the ultimate piece of clay? All of us. Can I say this, that if you have your moment of clay likeness, like Christ, moments, maybe plural, where you say, in your hand I entrust my life, even though things don't make sense, even though I don't know, I choose to, I trust, and I yield myself. Can I say that there will be people in the generations to come that might lift up their hand and say, thank you, Jesus, that Chris, Pietro, Bianca, or Ralph was willing to say, yet not my will be done, but your will be done. It is because of that perfect moment of clay likeness that we can come boldly by the grace of the Holy Spirit to say we can be clay-like. It's not too unsafe. Yes, sometimes you might even lose your life. Did you realize that the first apostles, the first disciples did not end up with big estates and nice cars, Olympic-sized swimming pools? No, they didn't. How did it end? Eh? Not bad. Bad in a certain sense, but how did it end? How did their clay-like decisions end? Death. Momentarily, but not eternally. Yeah. Momentarily, but not eternally. Am I today standing here bearing the fruit and enjoying the fruit of their sacrifice and clay-likeness? Yes, I am. Did they go low? Indeed, they did. Am I thankful today? Yes. We live in a kingdom of seeds, guys. We're called to be clay-like seeds often. And I know it's tough for the flesh sometimes to decide, but trust the hands that we're in. Trust the hands that are busy, that what He does will bear fruit. It will bring life to somebody else. Your sacrifice will bring life to somebody else. Your yielded sacrifice will bring life to somebody else. And may I just quickly stop there and just refute the lie that it will ever be against your will. He will not do it against your will. He will not do it against your will. Scripture says, for He will lead us both to will and to do for His good purpose. He will lead us, lead, not force, not drag, not kick, not scream. And if the church has ever done that, I repent. That is not Christ-like. Yes, sometimes it sucks waiting for people to come, but there'll be a leading. I'm honest. God is, He will lead. He's a good shepherd. A good shepherd will lead. He will not chase. But He will not take you to a place where you do not want to go. He might take something from you, might take something out of your life, but He will never take something out of your life that was really of good and perfect godly purpose there in the first place. In other words, He will not take something that was godly and that was intended for a godly blessing in the first place. He will only take something that's dead weight. He's taken a lot of dead weight out of our lives. Hallelujah. So three times we see that Christ did this and He became the ultimate clay-like. He became the ultimate clay, and as in doing that, the perfect example to us. So three things I want to encourage you with this morning as we end off. Do you feel encouraged, guys? Clay-like encouragement, hallelujah. I'm going to learn this again, I know, in the future, so I need to be careful in saying this, but guys, there's truly a finding in losing. There is such a finding in losing in a godly way. There's a losing because of sin and stupidity. And you're like, where's the hands? It's like, the hands got nothing to do with that. That was you on your own. You had your clay lot spilikies upon a plek gespeel. That was not me. So be careful not to think that the nonsense you're in, I want to use a totally different word, but the nonsense you're in is because of the hands of God. That's not always true. That's why we've got accountability, and that's why we've got the word. It's like, I hear what you say, but I don't believe that's the potter's work. That might have just been all you. So be careful to not fall for that trick. But to know and to realize that in losing one's life, in really losing, and losing I mean yielding, surrendering, giving it over to Him wholeheartedly, it doesn't happen instantly, that I can promise you, but there's a finding. Nick and I had this conversation. I can't really explain it to him. It's like, you have to lose this side and grab hold of that one, but it's not simultaneously, and there's a bit of a pause and a process in between. But you don't die. That's all I can say. Well, at least not me. Some people did. Oh, I love the kingdom. Here's the encouraging part. The encouraging part. Three things I want to encourage you with. You are in the hands of a loving Father. If He says to me, Retief, I'm the potter, you're the clay, it's absolutely true. But He's also not only a potter, He's a Father. He did not come to show and to flex as a big king, as a staunch guy on a big throne. No, He came to say, no, I'm like a father. There was a father-like way in which Johann conveyed his message this morning. One that I can take to heart. It doesn't offend even the flesh, or at least not mine. But there was a father-like, there's a loving, there's care in His words, as there was care in the way in which He smelled those flowers. And likewise, I believe in God, He's saying, hey, if I take something, if I challenge you, it's because I'm a good dad and you're in the hands of a loving Father. That's the hands of a potter. Secondly, you can do it. Why? Because the clay that has paid the highest yielded price is Jesus Christ. There's no one that needs to go pay that price again or even higher than that. It's impossible. You can say, Christ, this is difficult for me to do, but You have done it, so please grant me the grace to do it as well. I know I've got a decision. There's people that really decide against God's call. There is. You can ask Reinhard Bunker. Apparently, he wasn't the first choice. He's got a great testimony of that. Go check it up on YouTube. He wasn't the first choice. There was guys before Reinhard Bunker. I don't want to... The numbers differed. Even if it's two. Some people say it's about... He was seventh. But there was probably then, let's call it five or six guys before him that said, no thanks. This clay ain't going nowhere. Just imagine the riches and the glory and the blessing that somebody like Reinhard Bunker, by the grace of God, has received. And so we look to Christ, not to Reinhard, but we say, Christ, lead me in Your clay-like manner. And then lastly, you don't have to do it alone. You've got a helper. You've got a helper. Not to help you once off with a big decision, no, daily. Because clay likeness is a daily thing. It's not a once off. It starts once off, yes, but it becomes part and parcel of your life. Saying, Lord, I'm not my own. You're Lord over my life. Even in mission, even on mission, I had to pray through what the itinerary should be, not what I would like to do. What is the King busy with? Potter, what do you want to do? It was just people. It was very little touristy stuff. Lots of people. But we came back refreshed. We came back filled, knowing that God had a bigger purpose. So the Spirit will lead us. Romans 8:11 says, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, when He who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through the Spirit who lives in you. That Spirit that cries out, Abba Father. Not skilled potter, Abba Father. Will you stand with me, please? Christ, thank You that You came to give us an example of how to live, how to lose our lives to find it. Thank You because You have done it, we will be able to do it as well. Thank You for normal Christianity. It's one of a supernatural call. Not for one or two or three or five guys, but for all of us. Every single person are called to walk in the supernatural ways that we see in the Word of God. We repent, we'll be done. But please lead us into that place where miracle signs and wonders will follow those we need. Where the fruit of the Spirit is just paramount in all of our lives, and very evident. We thank You for that. This morning, if you've got a situation, a
It feels like messy clay, that you cannot fathom what the Lord is doing or if it is even Him. And He would just like to place it into His loving hands this morning. Just raise your hand. You don't raise your hands because I want to know if things are working. No, you raise your hands because you're living in faith and just declaring before the Lord that yes, I receive this by faith. And so this morning, if there's something that of clay-likeness and messiness that you want to just recommit and yield into His hands, be it your life or a certain area, yeah, just raise your hand and say, Lord, here it is. Oh, I just hear the words of my spirit. I love you. Thank you, Lord, you love me. And like us as parents know so much better about our young ones, 2, 3, 5, 6 year olds. Are we just so much, know so much better than they? Thank you that you always know so much better than us. Thank you for that, Jesus. Just come and heal.
Best if I don't share this vision I had during worship, and it's just so all glory to God. It just confirms the message and the other words for this morning. And we were singing that song, All I Need Is You, Lord. It's You, all I need. And I had my hands up in the air, and my heart was breaking. Singing, All I Need Is You. But this message isn't just for me, because God gave it to me now here in church. It's for all of us. I saw these big hands reach out of heaven, and they came to lift me up. And my arms were up. And God said to me, faith like a child, just as a little child goes to their daddy and says, Dada up, Dada up. That's what He wants us to say. Dada, pick me up. He's faithful. He's faithful. He loves us. And He is certainly a good Father.
Amen. And secondly, if you, just as she now shared with us, if you just want Christ to come and reveal the hands of God again to you. Like there's areas of trust that you struggle to just yield or give over. You're not sure how it's going to end. You give everything. You lose your life, as we've said. If you're not sure, you're unsure, and you're struggling to trust. Trust the hands. You would just want to say this morning, Christ, please come and reveal. Maybe just raise your hand again. Thank you, Father, for these hands. They want to get to know your hands. Your hands is your character. Your hands is your heart. Your hands is your thought. Your hands is who you are yesterday, today, and forevermore. Ah, you're good. And you love your children. Thank you, Lord. Wipe away the false images given by Christians, given by culture, given by the church, even. We bless and forgive those people for misrepresenting your hands. And we say there's one that can truly perfectly represent your hands, and that is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, please come and reveal to us as a church and to these people who raise their hand. Please come and reveal the true hands of the true Father God. Father God. And then also, I pray for us as a church community, help us to be a good reflection, Jesus. Come and reflect through us who the Father truly is. And then lastly, I'm just going to pray that the Spirit helps us, the Spirit empowers us to be clay-like. So Father God, for those that partner with this prayer and faith, we just say, thank you, Holy Spirit, the one that says, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Please come and stir that Abba, Father, childlike faith in all hearts. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, help us to be clay-like in the moments of clay likeness. Help us to acknowledge those moments because they come and we're not even always sure when they arrive at our doorstep. But help us to yield our heart, to humble our life, to be soft. And thank you, lastly, Lord, that I can declare of us as a church, of this church community, and us as individuals and the couples, married couples with joint calling here as well, Lord, that we will fulfill our highest calling and the highest purpose over every single person, every single couple, every single married in this place. We will fulfill our highest purpose in this life. because of Christ likeness in us, because of the grace of the Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen, amen, and amen. If you need prayer on any of these points, even if something is still bugging or hurting, please come forward. Please come and pray with us. Otherwise, go out, be clay like, go low and see what amazing things are going to be for your life. God bless.